Rick, what Kirk has to say to us. Tim, Rick, there's
too many of you guys, gosh.
Great. Psalm 32. Hear the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time where you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Friends, this is the word of God. I'll hand over to Kirk now, and he can teach us from that word.
Let me just say that it really is lovely to be with you all. As I say, I used to live in Brisbane, and we used to come up sometimes to the sunny coast to holiday, and this was where we would come and worship. So it was a real delight when we heard that Rick was going to be the minister up here. It really is lovely to be with you all. Why don't we pray together as we come to look at God's word. Heavenly Father, we're a needy people. We're a people who need your help in every way, and in particular we need your help in terms of coming to your word. And so we pray that you would give us your Holy Spirit now as we seek to look at it and understand it, and that you would apply it to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, we are looking this morning at that passage that we just read, Clint just read, Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, what you have there is a psalm that is about happiness and covering sin, happiness and covering sin. I imagine those subjects are both things that would connect with you. I would think that there would be no one here who hasn't thought about the question of how to be happy. It just seems to be something which all of us seek. We all want to be happy. And I would think that there would be nobody here who hasn't had to wrestle with the problem of covering sin. I've sinned, I've done the wrong thing, and I really need to cover that sin. And I imagine also that many of you, maybe even all of you, certainly myself, have at times connected those two things together in your mind. Maybe not consciously, but maybe subconsciously in the back of your mind. Perhaps you've thought this way: I really need to cover my sin. If I don't cover this sin, it's going to lead me into all sorts of trouble. If I'm going to be happy, I need to cover this sin. You might not have said it in so many words, but I reckon that in the back of your mind, that's the way that you've thought. And as I say, it's certainly the way that I have thought. And so we want to think about that this morning. We want to think about happiness and covering sin. You'll notice as we turn to this psalm that the psalm is a psalm that's about happiness. Notice the way that the psalm finishes in verses 10 and 11. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You can see that there's a contrast there between sorrow on the one hand and gladness on the other. The psalm is talking about things that lead to sorrow and things that lead to happiness. You see that there at the beginning of the psalm too. You will notice that in verse 1, the psalm begins in this way. It begins by saying, "Blessed is he." Okay, blessed. In the original, that word that is used there for blessed is, it just means happy. It's often used that way in the Bible, and it's the same word, for example, that's used over in 1 Kings 10 when the Queen of Sheba says to Solomon, "Happy are your men, happy are these your servants who continually stand before you and see your wisdom." So it's a word that just means happy. Happy is he. The passage begins. The Psalm's a psalm about the way of happiness. As we consider the way of happiness, we ask the question, is covering sin really the way of happiness? By nature, you and I should understand we seek to cover our sin. Now, it's just something that we tend to do. The writer here, King David, had certainly tried that. He'd been there. As David writes this psalm, he's writing because he had in recent years had to deal with some big sins in his life. And the way that he had initially dealt with that sins in his life is described there in verse 3. He says, "I kept silent." I kept silent. In other words, I covered up. One spring evening, David had been walking on the roof of the palace. He spied a woman bathing on a rooftop. He desired her. He sent for her. The woman was found to be with child. This, of course, would be a devastating public relations nightmare. This would not lead to happiness. And so he covered his sin. He secretly had her husband killed, and he took her as his wife. Problem solved. David had found happiness by covering his sin. He'd covered the sin of adultery, no one would know. He'd covered the sin of murder, no one would find out. Covered it up. And it's the way that we so often try to deal with sin. We keep silent about it. We pretend it's not there. We cover it up. Often you and I look like good people on the outside, don't we? It's relatively easy to look like a good person, especially if you've been around church for a while, if you've grown up in church, like I certainly was. We learn to behave in the right way, we learn to say the right things, and so on. And so we can end up seeming like pretty good people on the outside, to everyone else, and it's really not that hard. But if people could look within, if people could see our thoughts, if people could see us all the time, or if they could see what we clicked on the internet, or if they could see what we did one time when we were out with our mates, or how we treat some of our work colleagues, or maybe family, or maybe friends, or folks at uni or work, or whatever it might be, if people could see us all of the time, probably they wouldn't think of us as being quite as good, would they? And in fact, time and again, while we look good on the outside, yet inside, we know that we're dirty. Inside, there's the guilt of sins which we haven't dealt with. We're hiding sins. It's a cover-up. You can imagine what it was like for David during the years that he hid his sin. He was this king, he was this man garbed in royal attire, wearing his crown, going about his royal duties, administering justice, congratulating the troops, attending dinner parties and so on. And yet all of the while on the inside, he was covering sin. He looked admirable, but it was a cover-up. Now, some might say that's okay. Some might say at least no one knew what had happened. Yes, he was covering up, but he was keeping his happiness. But David here says that he wasn't happy. As long as he covered his sin, although that kept him from certain negative consequences, yet as long as he covered his sin, he wasn't happy. He says in verse 3, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." He says, I wasn't happy. He says, my sin just weighed me down. It aged me. It sucked the life out of me. It was such a parasite. And that's what covering sin does for us, doesn't it? It's such a life-sucking burden. It's such a parasite, such a struggle. And we know, don't we, that it's hard work, you know, covering up sin. Think of all the tricks that we get up to in covering sin. We make excuses for our sin, don't we? We try to convince ourselves that we had no choice, that our situation was different or whatever it might be. We make excuses or we have to blame someone else, like Adam and Eve. We blame our friends or family or hormones or whatever it might be. Maybe even God. We blame. We have to deny. We tell ourselves it didn't really happen that way. Some of us are really good at sort of historical revisionism, changing history slightly, remembering certain things really, really well and other things not so well. Or maybe we can't deny it and so we just try to ignore it. We get really busy with work or with school or with socialising or sport or whatever it might be, and we just try to deal with it by ignoring it. And yet all the while, there's this burden inside of us, isn't there? It's a guilt, knowing that we've done the wrong thing. It's hard, covering our sin. And so I want you to chew over that this morning, and I want you to think this morning, are you covering sin in your life? Am I covering sin in my life? Do we try to excuse it, ignore it, and so on? Are you perhaps pretending that it isn't there? Maybe even that you're not a sinner, that there's nothing that you need to put right between yourself and God. Perhaps even you imagine that facing your sin will make life too uncomfortable, that it will bring too much sorrow, or that the consequences will be too great. If so, David would tell you from painful experience that the path of covering sin is the way of sorrow. David would tell you from painful experience that the way of happiness isn't the way of covering sin. And in fact, what David would tell you is that the road to happiness actually begins by uncovering our sin. We see that in verse 5, where David says, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity." Okay, you notice what David did there? What he ended up deciding was, he said, I'm not going to cover my sin anymore. Not going to hide it. Previously, he had covered his sin, kept up appearances and so on, but now, no longer. David's reaction when he was confronted by Nathan, the prophet, you know how he dealt with that. No excuses, no self-justifying and so on. His words were simply this, 2 Samuel 12, "I've sinned against the Lord." That was it. And that's what David's talking about here. "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord." And friends, if you and I are to find happiness, we must follow David's example here. We need to uncover our sin, to confess it to God for what it is, an act of rebellion against the loving God who made us. You know, it hasn't gone unnoticed that confession of sin actually does help make us feel better. It really does. But it is important that we confess our sins to the right person. You know, these days online you get websites where what people are doing is they're actually anonymously telling secrets to different people on online. There's a few different websites like this. And sometimes some of the entries online are actually just simply kind of online confessions. That's what it is. I looked up a couple of the websites, and you get things like this. You get, I lied to a friend today. I said that I'd written 3 pages when I hadn't even been able to start. He was only about 2.5 pages in. So you can kind of see what's going on there. Or this one, more serious. I smoke weed every night if I can and get drunk when I can't. I honestly don't even really think I like it. Or this one, I'm a horribly jealous person. I can feel it rising within me whenever I see new and old friends getting along, or when someone's attention shifts from me to another person, or even when the person I like gets remotely touchy with someone else. I force it down every time, but it makes me feel like a monster. What these are, they're like these online confessions. And I feel for these people because it's like there's something within that actually wants to uncover our sin, isn't there? But the tragedy is that confessing it into cyberspace isn't actually going to make it better. Cyberspace is not going to solve our problems. Now, obviously, we need to confess our sins to the people that we've hurt. It's really important. But, you know, even when you've confessed your sins to the people you've hurt, you still haven't uncovered your sin. David, we know, had sinned against the woman that he'd been with. He'd sinned against the person that, the family of the people he'd, person he'd married and so on. And no doubt he acknowledged his sin to these people. But here in this passage, he goes even further than that, doesn't he? And he recognises that even these sins against other people are a reflection, firstly, of a rebellion against God. And he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And that's so important in dealing with our sin, isn't it? Confess it to the Lord. And so each one of us here needs to ask ourselves, is this the way that I'm dealing with my sin in my life? Is there things in my life that I'm not taking to the Lord? Have I uncovered my sins to the God, the loving God who made me? This is what David did. And as he did this, he found in God a hiding place. We read in verse 6, therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. Okay, did you notice how this works? David's here saying that as you're praying to God, as you're confessing your sin to him, you find in him a hiding place. You find a shelter, a place where even a dangerous flood of waters cannot overcome you. You find a hiding place. David is saying this. He's saying, stop trying to hide yourself. And when you do that, God's going to hide you. Don't hide your sin. Stop hiding your sin. And as you do, God will hide you from his wrath. We saw this pattern up at the end of verse 5. David writes there. He says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. When he stops hiding his sin, this is when God hides him from what he deserves. You know, it's interesting, whenever we hide our sin, we always feel like we have nowhere to hide, don't we? We know God sees, we know he knows and so on. And so we feel a bit like, this is apt to my family circumstance, we feel a bit like a child with chocolate all over their face telling their mum that they don't know where the Fredo frog went. It's sort of, we try to hide but we know we can't. And yet the interesting thing is that once we stop trying to hide, then God says we have a hiding place. We bring it all out into the open. Once we bring it all out in the open, confess our sin, then God says, I will hide you from my wrath. Or if we can put this another way. Oops, I'll leave that back there. Or if we can put this another way, once we stop trying to cover our sin, then God will provide his covering. You see, we do need a covering for sin, do we not? We're under God's judgment without it. And the Bible says that such a covering does exist. It's just that we don't provide it. David speaks of that covering in verse 1 when he writes this. He says, "Happy is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered." There is a covering. And in fact, this covering is the way to happiness. He says, happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You see, our desire to cover our sin is in one sense very, very wise. If we realize that our sin has earned us the judgment of God, then it makes sense that we want to cover it. It's sensible to want to cover our sin. It makes good sense. But what is silly is thinking that we can do it. We can't do it. Our efforts to deny or patch up our sins and so on, it just are silly. We can't cover our sin, but God can. That's why verse 2 goes on and it says, "Happy is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." Okay, notice who's at work here. The Lord is at work. God's at work. We can't cover our sin. God can cover our sin. God can choose not to count to us our sins. He can choose not to see our sins. And the reason why he can do this is because he has provided a covering for us in Jesus Christ. Over in Romans chapter 4, Paul quotes the first two verses of Psalm 32. And he uses them and other verses in the Old Testament to explain that it is possible for our sin not to be counted to us, and to instead have Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' goodness counted to us, so that we are seen as sinless in the sight of God. We read in Romans chapter 4 and verse 24 that the righteousness of Jesus will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. You see, through Christ, my sin is paid for and Jesus' goodness is counted to me. Jesus in his life lived the life that I should have lived. Jesus in his death died the death that I should have died. And so because of what Jesus has done, I have a covering for my sin. Jesus has paid for my sin at the cross. And God now sees me as having all of the purity of Christ Jesus himself. It's like I come to Jesus just filthy in my sin, and Jesus gives me this great long robe of royal robe to wear over it all, the robe of his righteousness, his goodness, and that just covers all of my filth. So that when God looks at me, he does not see my sin. All he sees is the robe of Jesus' righteousness, which has been counted to me. My sin has been covered. God has provided a covering for sin in Jesus Christ. And so in the end, our choice is this. We can try to cover our own sin and pretend that it is not there, which is just a silly thing to do because God does see it. Or we can uncover our sin, we confess it to God, and then we seek his covering through Jesus Christ. Those are your two options. Try to cover your sin yourself, or simply uncover your sin before God and then seek his covering in Jesus Christ. So those are your only two options. Which one are you doing right now in your life? Are you seeking to cover your sin, or are you uncovering it before God and seeking his covering in Jesus Christ? David had done both. And his message to us in this psalm is that it is the second option which is the way of happiness. And so David goes on in this psalm, and he tells us in verses 8 and 9, not to be a mule about this, he says there, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. David, they're saying, oh, look, don't be stubborn about this. Take my advice as one who's been there. Don't be like a horse or a mule. A horse or a mule, they need a bit and they don't listen. They need a bit and a bridle to move them one way or another. They only do it because they're forced to, sort of thing. And he said, don't be like that. We need to understand that uncovering our sin isn't, as I've said, something that comes naturally to us. It's not something we naturally want to do. We're just masters of ducking and weaving, as I know I am, and I'm sure you feel that way yourself. And so often I have to acknowledge that what it comes down to is just simply my own stubbornness. It's not that we don't know that the answer is to confess our sin. It's just that we won't. Uncovering our sin isn't something that comes naturally to us. And turning to Christ isn't something that comes naturally to us either. The idea that Christ has done it all, that we don't contribute anything to our salvation, doesn't, you know, boost my ego in the way that I'd like it to. If we had to climb one of the Glasshouse Mountains by 9:30 in the morning or something like that, then we could claim that we'd done something to deserve our forgiveness. But the idea that Christ does it all, that I'm totally helpless, and that without his covering I have no righteousness to contribute to my salvation, we don't like that. It's not that it doesn't make sense, it's just that we don't like to accept it. We think ourselves too big for that. And so David says, you know, just don't be a mule about this. Accept that you need God's covering in Jesus Christ. You know, there are people today who, when you boil it all down, the basic reason why they're not happy is just simply stubbornness. I remember a guy I once knew, a nice guy, brought up Christian family, but left Christ as he got older. And in the end, when you talk to them about it, tried to say, hey, turning away from the Lord, why don't you come back to Christ? And his answer was essentially, why would I? I want to live my life my way. Now, he understood that Jesus is Lord. He understood that Jesus is Lord. He understood that there is rich, rich grace to be found in him. But he just determined to do things his way. And it did end up leading him down a sad path. And so it's important that we are wary of that kind of pride within ourselves. I need to be aware of that kind of pride within me. Isn't it true that in your life and mine, there have been times when the big thing that's actually robbed us from joy is just being a mule about things? Maybe our conscience has been burdened, but we didn't want to admit it, or maybe there were ways that we needed to humble ourselves before others, and just humbling ourselves before others would, you know, just change the relationship completely, but we didn't want to do it. And, it's possible to live today without happiness just because we're being a mule about things. And sadly, that's true in terms of our eternal happiness too. Wouldn't it be such an enormous waste if the great reason why we never came to Christ, if the great reason why we never found a covering for our sin, if the great reason why we never found eternal life was just because we were being a mule about things? It'd just be such a waste. Let's be ready to humble ourselves before God, because this is the way of happiness. And so let me finish our time together by asking the question, does covering sin bring happiness? The answer to that question is, in one sense, no. And in another sense, yes. David here teaches from personal experience that covering sin is both the way of sorrow and the way of happiness. The key to it all is simply in appreciating who is covering your sin. Are you covering your sin? Or is Christ covering your sin? Who is covering your sin? The answer to that question is the difference between sorrow and happiness. Happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the covering for sin that we have in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, not to seek to cover sin ourselves, but to be ready to confess our sins to you and to find the covering and the happiness that is in Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen.